Next case on our calendar is 98-668, Maryland Safety versus Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Mr. Murray.
Good morning, Mark. I think I could do both. You're up to the point. I'll begin by listening when I discuss the non-issue in the case.
Did they issue her a separate policy?
Sorry,
did they issue her a separate policy?
No, Your Honor.
They just put her right on his policy. What's wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, provided that that person who lost that person to that agent's office that can strictly gain information. Given the opportunity to have some understanding of what this agent is doing.
didn't she?
3 feet or above him, the way for us, and have him fund it. And this would be in the interest, as I think would also say, in the federal chamber, in the interest of the insurance company as well as the commissioner. I'm sure we'll have to tell this story on the flood litigation, I guess, 39, 38, 17, and all kinds of the other.
Didn't she testify that she would have done what her husband did, or she said, I believe I would have, and answered, and so you would have been asked, you would have obviously had the same courage as your husband had.
Right, that's
the fact. That's
the Thank you.
What's the obligation of the company under those circumstances?
Under those circumstances, the obligation is to offer to that new customer uninsured motorist insurance and get a rejection from the state of local priority.
But that may well be great public policy, but you're, as you know, I'm of the belief that we're not a body that makes public policy. That's the body that makes the policies across the street. And Judge Grady's question is put to you about, I mean, we can only deal with what the law and the statutes say. And his point, which I'm not sure you've really addressed, is his point is the statute doesn't speak about customers. It speaks about policies.
Well, I guess absolutely, Your Honor, there's no question policy is made across the street. But that policy is already been made across the street, 3938-17. This body here interprets 3938-17. Most respectfully, I think it particularly due to the priority decision, this court now says, oh, well, there's been one woman comes in and she wants to.
But are you have to get that threshold position of saying this is a, she asked for a policy, or it was a new policy, or it was, you know, what, how are we getting there to something that is violative of the statute?
I think, Your Honor, most respectfully, this is not the statute. I'm saying
I mean, what the agent did, you know, what, how is that, in that she didn't get a new policy? It seems like your argument is hinges on the court, this court, finding that there was, should have been a new, she had to have a right to reject, essentially, right?
Exactly.
And her right to reject stems from, under the statutory scheme, her right to reject stems from issuance of a policy, doesn't it? You accept or reject at the issuance of a policy.
Well, that's my vision. I think the point is that she said, because insurance, she doesn't know about application policy. It means nothing to her. The middle of the room, she goes and
they always do. See, that sounds to me. I get that, but I mean, in all cases, we can say that. You know, which of among us, except maybe the folks in this room, are so schooled in all this on the law about insurance, so people, they go in to buy or not buy or put it on a family policy. I still am stuck on your ideas. Maybe right, boy, we got to do more protection for folks when they walk in the door with a new car. Let's go and get it required that customers, any new customer, let's change the statute, any new customer, because that'd be a good thing, because people like, you know, this Stacy didn't know. But that isn't the situation right now. Do you think it is that that's the status of the law under the...
I think, Your Honor, 3938 doesn't mean that we avoid by a
about renewal. I get a policy for 6 months, and 3 months into the policy, I get a little notice from the agent or the company saying they now give me windshield protection. Then my policy expires in 6 months, and it's time to renew, or is that a new policy?
I think that's a very nice question. I thought about it. I think if you got some type of personal hire, always come on a renewal period.
No, they don't. They come throughout the course of the policy sometimes. Because they always tell you, place it with your policy.
I think it's a very important thing to make. I really don't know what that situation is. That's not our situation. That's an across-the-board supply of insurance policy. I think the real change, what happens, particularly if you look at the insurance debt, clearly is a change. This contract suddenly changed.
How? By adding a new car? And that changes the...
That changes the
do they charge an additional premium for adding a new car?
Well, they did, Your Honor. And besides, we might just do the non-retrieve testimony of the AMYD agency and carefully explain that's a mission in the system. What the renewal is also the documentation. The documentation is going to support each one of these changes. I think there's a total of six. I mean, you spell it right. Four for Walter. Each of those cases, and the documentation uses the word change, and there is additional premium. Again, I don't want to say that across the board. If we're changing the premium during the new policy.
But your contention with those changes, when the policy period is over, at the end of 6 months, you don't just renew what you have, that's in existence, that's a whole new policy. They have to issue a whole new policy. You really mean that?
I think when they're changing the policy, this is an occasion, and you have to find out. I think this decision is just part of the problem. You're selling insurance.
Why not? Because it's cruel and unusual punishment to go once every 6 months, never mind, or once every year, never mind, once every 6 months.
Determines who is a named insured.
The person assigned to application is a named insured. Also, the policy says for that the first named person on the declaration page is named insured.
So if I want to not only me be the named insured, but my wife be the named insured, I have to tell you that?
Both you and your wife are signed an application. That's correct.
Do you tell people that when say the husband comes in and he wants a new policy and his wife lives with him and say two or three adult kids or whatever it is, does the agent inquire of him as to whether he wants anyone other than himself to be put in the policy as a named insured?
I do not know the answer to that.
Is he obligated to do that?
I do not believe so. I do not know where that obligation would come from.
But doesn't a named insured have more rights than the person just living in the house?
Exactly right. And
isn't that important that the people know that not only living in the house, but being named a named insured gives you greater authority on that policy?
Well, Yes, in fact, Stacy wanted his wife to be a named insured, then he would have been able to ask her to come in and apply for insurance.
My question is not that. My question is, does the agent have any obligation to inform the person who knows nothing about insurance, who's sitting in front of him, does he have any obligation to tell Mr. Now, if you want your wife to be named insured, she will have to come in and sign the policy.
I do not know where that obligation will come from, Your Honor.
You say that they have no obligation.
I do not believe that they have a statutory obligation.
But the ramifications of not informing Mr. about that is that Mrs. never gets the opportunity to select uninsured motorist coverage.
I disagree with that because when the agent explains to an applicant who becomes an agent insured the consequences of his rejection, then he is informed and will be able to pass that information on to his spouse.
Does that information at all get to the wife in the marriage at all, does it? By the insurance company? You see no necessity on part of the insurance company to inform your insured that the importance of putting his wife as a named insured on the policy. You don't see that as an obligation of your company?
That is correct. I think the obligation goes only to the applicant named insured.
You're quite adamant about that, aren't you?
I am.
Isn't the named insured the person who has the contract with the insurance company? Isn't that the distinction between the named insured and others who are insured under the policy?
The named insured is the one who
pays the premium.
Pays the premium and is the one who makes the election.
So two or three members of the family want to be responsible for the premium, they can step up to the plate, I guess, can't they?
They can become
the contract situation.
Lots of their own insurance policy, that's correct.
Yeah.
And I might go one step further. When the named insured makes this election, he's doing so for all insurers under the policy. And who are insurers under the policy?
Is he told that? Now, Mr., when you're making this selection, you're not only selecting for yourself, you're selecting for your wife and all the people in your household. Is he told that?
And he's making that selection.
Answer my question. Don't avoid it. Answer my question. Is he told now, Mr. Smith, when you make this selection, you're cutting off your wife and all the people in your house of being a named insurer? Is he told that?
I do not know what he is told.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't an insurance company be obligated to fully inform a non-informed person about the ramifications of not having his wife as a named insured?
You say a non-informed person, but he is informed.
Well, what? Give me a break. When someone walks into an insurance company, are you telling me that he knows as much as the agent does?
I didn't suggest that. I'm saying his agent imparts that knowledge to him.
No, he doesn't. No.
He is informed.
You just told me that the agent doesn't tell the husband that by being the only named insured, he's cutting his rights of his wife off. You didn't tell me he told that person that.
And we do not know what he said in this case.
Well, don't tell me he told him that then. You said, yes, he told him all those ramifications of doing that. You know that's not true.
I do not know.
Are you going to require the husband to sign a form that I wrote for my wife that we have to write him off?
And I certainly hope that that is what I would wish for. I certainly hope that is what this is. As I was saying, the named insured makes this decision, and it is binding on all insured. And who can be insured other than the spouse or family members? It can be a guest in the car who he is giving a ride to downtown. If that, under those circumstances, and the coverage in question, be it liability or uninsured motors, that person is the insured. The named insured election is binding on that insured.
Haven't we decided the case that says that the husband can't waive the rights of the wife?
You may have decided a case where you had the husband and wife as named insured, where one named insured election is not binding on the other named insured.
So you would concede in response to Justice Sweeney's line of questioning that if Mr. Jones and Mrs. Jones were both named insureds, that for there to be an effective rejection, both would have to sign.
That is correct. But that is not the case.
Yeah, I understand, but you would concede at least that.
I do. I also believe that it's important that we distinguish between coverage and what is covered. Coverage, if you are asked, would be an example of I have 100 liability, I have 25, 50 UM. You do not talk about what is covered. So the simple change of a vehicle from a 1992 Ford to a 1985 to a Mercury is not a change in coverage that would warrant the named insured to again make a educated election as to what he wants to do with UM coverage. Once he has made that election, it does not have to be reoffered again. The statute, the policy of the state says only upon the written request of a named insured is the limit of that UM coverage to be changed. I think it's important to stress that Mrs. Stacy went in, testified, had her deposition on page 45, that she went in to the Dickman agency to add the car to the policy. She went on to indicate that it would have been her preference to have that policy, that car, added to the family.
On the renewal issue, what changed during the course of the policy period would necessitate the issuing of a new policy? Can you think of any?
Nothing changed during the course of the existing policy. The existing.
Not just this one, any time. Adding a new car wouldn't do it.
That is not a new policy.
How about that one of your minor children didn't live with you, now comes back and lives with you? They're an insurer. Is that a change?
I do not believe so, fine.
What if you change your own car from a Buick to a Chrysler? Not a change.
That is not a change. I think it's also important.
Only change might be then in coverage, 100,000 to 500,000. That'd be a new policy.
It would not be a new policy necessarily, but it would be a change. And why I think it's important to note this is that UM coverage is personal protection. It's protecting the individual and not any particular car.
Follows the person, doesn't it?
Follows the person, exactly right. So he has, at the outset, made the recommendation or the decision, the conscious decision, I want 12.5 UM coverage on myself and the insurer on that policy. Although I have $100,000 liability coverage. Now he comes back in and thinks, you know, I think I want to have a little bit more coverage on my car. I want to have $300,000 single limit. At that moment, he has decided for himself that he wants to protect himself with more higher liability coverage. So then it's incumbent upon the agent to again revisit his selection on UM coverage. You know, Mr. Stacey, you elected at the outset of our contract here that you only wanted 12.5 UM coverage, and I told you what that covered. And now you've made this decision that you can cover yourself for $300,000. Maybe you ought to consider increasing those limits. And there's case authority that says when you change the coverage, you got to be off. But I'm adding coverage to an existing policy is not a change of coverage.
It increases the limit to it. In your hypothetical here, which limit is it?
The case authority I'm alluding to is the liability limit.
Oh,
so when you change your...
So under your policy, you can come in and say, I've read my newspaper account. I was wrong to say 12.5.
great thing.
I think it's $1 million for insurance, motor coverage for me to protect my government. But I'm happy to survive and just 100, 300 people. I do not know that you can have higher medical coverage and liability coverage, but it certainly would allow you to come in.
Well, insurance companies do this serious thing. They say you can, you can't cover yourself for more than you cover other people, but you can cover yourself for a whole lot less.
Exactly right, which is a red line of
protection. The protection prohibits covering yourself for more.
Under the facts of this case, if we didn't have, let's change the facts a little, and we don't have an adding of a car, you're saying if she had been hit by an uninsured motorist under the policy, even though she's not a named insured, she in fact could show that she didn't reject and would have for the full amount of the liability limits. That's your contention? By 20, by 30. Yeah, but forget the renewal. By 30, you say that...
Would all the states of Ohio now stand adjourned.